Hello, and welcome to the Let's Talk Attachments podcast. My name is Jessica Da Silva, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and an attachment coach, helping adults end their unhealthy dating patterns and create stronger, secure relationships. Attachment theory gives us insight into how we currently experience love through understanding our earlier attachment dynamics. I created this podcast as a safe space to share stories and insights on different aspects of attachment so that you can better understand how this manifests in your own life. My only request is that you listen with an open heart and an open mind. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's podcast episode. So I'm actually recording this episode from Austria, which is really random. I did not think that we were going to come here, but I came to Europe to visit my partner who had to come out here for a work trip, and we decided to make a little vacation out of it as we desperately needed some quality time with each other. But we last minute plans decided to rent an RV and do some traveling within Germany, and Austria was bordering the town that we were staying in, so we decided to make a trip out here, and here we are. So hello from here. But I thought I would use this morning, because I have some free time, to record a podcast for you. So yesterday I made a post on Instagram that got a lot of attraction. A lot of people thought it was really relevant to what they were experiencing. And it was based off of a quote that I found. I don't know who wrote this quote, but it just really spoke to so much of what we experience as insecure attachments. So here's the quote: attracting a partner who doesn't need to be saved forces you to see your inherent value outside of what you can do for them. That can be very difficult for someone who is used to saving others and has centered their self-worth and their identity around sacrifice. Like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. So I just thought that this quote rings very true to especially anxious and fearful avoidant attachments, because it's often these attachment styles who met their emotional and or physical needs through taking care of others. And because of these experiences, they derive a lot of meaning and significance from being in these positions where they feel needed. Okay, so if you often play the caretaker role or even the savior role in your relationships, I want you to think about where you took on this role. Where did you have to be this person to someone in the past? Okay, so for instance, was it after your parents split that you felt obligated to take care of your mom or your dad or your siblings? Were your parents, you know, really needy themselves? Maybe they were sick. Maybe they worked a lot. Maybe they had their own mental or physical health challenges. Maybe they had very high expectations for you, or even addictions that they were going through. And so you kind of found yourself, you know, being the parent or taking care of them or worried about them. Or is it that you got a lot of approval for what you could do for them? Okay, so there's so many ways that we could have adopted this identity of caretaker or savior or fixer, but it's usually from taking on some kind of responsibility to parent, save, or fix our earliest attachment figures. So for me, I took on the role of parent when my parents separated when I was only 12. And although it was very taxing, very, very taxing, I got a lot of praise. I got a lot of power. I got a lot of attention. I got a lot of freedom. I got a lot of security for being needed in this way. I got my needs met for connection, right? When I listened to my mom complain about my dad or complain about work, I got, you know, my need for praise from my dad, you know, making sure that I paid the house bills or that I was on top of my mom for paying the house bills. I got significance from, you know, this need for significance from being the oldest and having to babysit my sisters. I got, you know, a happy mother when I cleaned the entire house by the time she got home from work. I got a very nice mother when I was compliant and didn't express my true feelings and needs. Okay, so giving of myself and meeting the needs of others was my norm for experiencing love. That's just what I thought love was. And often anxious and fearful avoidants believe love is that too, right? Love is this self-neglect. Love is, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Okay. But did it make me happy? Did it make me happy? Does it make you happy? For me, maybe temporarily it did, but I often found myself very resentful and very angry in those situations. Because when we are neglecting our needs, well, guess what? Your feelings are going to tell you, hey, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel good. Or I'm tired. I'm drained. I'm exhausted. I feel unsupported. Remember that your emotions will always, always guide you to what needs are being met and what needs are not being met. And often when there is self-neglect, you will feel very drained, exhausted, bitter, resentful. So just know that your feelings will always tell you. And it's also why, right, playing the caretaker and viewing love from this perspective is also why I attracted relationship dynamics that perpetuated my caretaker role, and why I dismissed those people or those relationships that didn't require that of me. I remember dating people that were a bit more independent, for example, right? Let's just, you know, they knew how to cook, they knew how to clean, they knew how to regulate their emotions, they could take care of themselves, and I just felt so weird. I felt so weird and so out of place and just very insignificant, and even kind of bored, I guess, with being in these situations. I just felt very, very out of place. I didn't really know how to contribute to this person's life, and I didn't really understand why they wanted to be with me in the first place. I didn't get it. So I felt really insecure, right? This uncertainty triggered a lot of insecurity within me. You know, just feeling as though I wasn't good enough and just kind of looking for reasons why we weren't, you know, we just didn't match, why we shouldn't be together, why this person wasn't right for me. So after ending things with them, I would go back to an ex, right? Or just familiar people that required me to put my needs on the back burner in order to take care of them because it's what I knew. So I was really good at giving love, however, terrible at receiving love. And that is often seen with anxious and fearful avoidance, where they are really good at giving love and tending to people's needs, but terrible at receiving love, and not really knowing how to ask for what they need, because that just wasn't nurtured within them. You know, I often dated men that were very controlling, very jealous. They didn't know how to self-soothe. They were very rigid with their needs. And I just thought that by adjusting to their needs and desires, it made me a good partner. You know, it showed them how much I loved them. But really, it made me an enabler and someone who lacked self-respect. If I was making sure they were happy at all times, how were they going to learn to be independent? How were they going to learn to meet my needs or to know what I wanted, right? If I was making sure they were happy at all times, what cost would that come for me? So this form of overgiving didn't make my partner love or respect me more. It just made them more dependent on me. And it made my worth dependent on them. Also, another thing here I wanted to point out is often how we give love, we expect others to give love to us in that way. So if we self-neglect, right, we expect other people to also self-neglect, right? Because that's how we experience love. To us, it's like, that's love. Obviously, we don't tell ourselves, oh, self-neglect is love. But really, in reality, that's what's happening. So if I don't have boundaries, that means they shouldn't have boundaries. And if they set boundaries, it's because they don't love me, right? Because we just assume that everyone experiences love the way we do. But that is not true. that is not true. And not having any boundaries is not a form of love. It's a form of self-neglect. It's a form of self-neglect, and it creates codependency. So, you know, it's this exact recipe that we talked about, where we don't have boundaries, where we just give and give and give of ourselves, and our partner just takes and takes and takes, and then becomes very highly dependent on what we're giving. That is a codependent relationship, where two people solely rely on each other to meet each other's needs. Interdependency, right, or healthy dependency, is when both partners can support each other, but also honor their needs and boundaries within a relationship. Okay, so sorry guys, there's rain right now, so hopefully it's not too distracting. So that's what we're shooting for, this interdependency, this healthy dependency, where we can support each other and honor our needs in that process at the same time. So there's a balance with giving and receiving love, where both people feel seen and feel heard, not just one person giving, 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 and the other person taking, taking, taking. That's not it. It's both people expressing their needs, feeling seen and feeling heard. So how do we reverse this caretaker or this savior identity? So first of all, it's important to know that this way of relating is a part of your nature. Okay, it's a part of your nature, and this isn't a bad thing. Because you were raised to be attuned to people's needs, you developed a sensitivity and an awareness into these behavioral subtleties. Okay, so you also most likely have a lot of empathy for people who are in pain because of the enmeshment that you experienced with those you loved. And this mentality of, you know, my pain is your pain. So it's often, you know, when we have a lot of empathy, you see a lot of insecure attachment styles, especially, who tend to have this deep empathy or this deep sensitivity for people's pains or discomforts because of what they experienced, because they lacked a lot of boundaries growing up, a lot of emotional boundaries growing up. So often in those households, it was like, okay, if I'm hurting, well, you're gonna hurt. You're gonna know about it. And so that, you know, obviously it's not healthy, but at the same time, you also developed a sensitivity to that, right? So it becomes a gift in a lot of ways. It becomes a gift in a lot of ways, and we just want to learn how to protect that gift and use it to our advantage. So, you know, your job now is to really just be aware of your abilities, protect them, see them as your gifts, and use them to your advantage. Hi there, I just wanted to pop in here and give you some exciting news. So you can now purchase all of the My Secure Self e-courses for the anxious, fearful avoidant, dismissive avoidant, and secure attachment looking to support their partner for the price of one. I decided to package all of the e-courses into one in order for you to more easily learn about other aspects of your attachment style, and also for you to learn about how others experience love. So to take advantage of this new offer, you can visit the link in my show notes. So here are some helpful tips for stepping out of the caretaker role. Number one, affirm to yourself these statements often, okay? So set them as reminders on your phone, or write them on, you know, post-its and put them around the house. But I want you to affirm to yourself that I am worthy despite what I can do for people. So I am worthy despite what I can do for people. I am deserving of love and support. I love and accept myself. I am worthy despite what I can do for people. I am deserving of love and support. I love and accept myself. So just affirm this to yourself often, as much as possible. Two, start asking yourself, what do I want? Or what do I need? Okay, what do I want and what do I need? And do this often. Three, take people off of the pedestal and start meeting your needs and desires. Okay, so take people off of the pedestal and start meeting your needs and your desires. Also, get comfortable asking for those needs to be met from others. Okay, so all the energy that you put into meeting the needs of others, start pouring some of that energy and that love and that attention into yourself. It's going to feel very weird. It's going to feel very unnatural and even selfish to a lot of people because we've kind of been conditioned to again, give. Maybe your parents even called you selfish. Maybe you were taught that by giving of yourself, that there was a lot of integrity with that action. So we have to reframe, you know, what is selfish? What does that even mean? To me personally, selfish is, because this was something that my mom often called me growing up, I had to learn how to change my relationship to selfishness. And I see that as a way of me tending to my needs, right? We have to take care of ourselves first in order to properly take care of others. Every safety class teaches this, you guys, right? We need to tend to ourselves first before we can properly save or take care or protect somebody else. So tend to yourself first. That's how I see quote unquote selfishness nowadays. I'm just tending to myself first. So anyways, if this feels weird for you, if it feels unnatural, don't worry about it. Just do it anyway. Asking yourself, what do I need? What do I need right now? This can look like taking time for yourself throughout the day, spending money on things that make you feel good, treating yourself, saying no, asking for help, learning to compromise rather than just saying yes to everything, setting boundaries. Again, setting boundaries around what you will and won't tolerate or what you like and don't like, okay? Most importantly, get comfortable asking yourself, what do I need? And meeting this need. What do I need? And learning to meet this need. So this is going to be the most empowering question that you will ever, ever ask yourself. So get used to asking yourself this often. And remember, right, that a healthy relationship is a balance of supporting each other's needs. And if you're wondering, what the hell are my needs, Jessica? What are needs and how do I identify them? I got you covered. My digital course, My Secure Self, guides you through all the insights and tools to identify your needs, to communicate your needs, and learn ways to meet them in healthy ways. So each week for 8 weeks, you get access to a new module with video lessons and resources to learn about boundaries, needs, challenging your insecurities, self-love practices, and just a variety of topics to ensure that you create more confidence and security within yourself and your relationships. And really cool, right now you get access to all the attachment style courses for the price of one. So to learn more about that, visit the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode.